Welcome, fans, to another special episode of Rangers Ed. This is your host, Cousin Ed, here with my co-host, Little Ed. What's up, bud?
I honestly still can't believe it.
In shock, right?
In shock, but you can move on.
And we got our producer, Mikey, here with his Lundqvist banner on his white wall. What's up, Mike?
Doing great. Smiling ear to ear.
And Mike, your head matches Coach's chest tonight. Coach is here as well, shirtless, joining us for the podcast. What's up, Coach?
Not really. There's more hair on my chest.
That's true. And we got a special guest tonight, a big fan of the podcast, one of my best friends back from undergrad. Carl's here. What's up, Carl?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for having me. Longtime listener, first time.
Come on, Carl. Come on, Carl.
I met Cousin Ed 16 years ago when I was a freshman in college, and he taught me a lot about hockey, and excited to be here. I listen to you guys every week and excited to celebrate what was a great Game 7 win and look forward.
Yeah, so Carl's with us watching Games 2 and 3. We were in Colorado on a nice little trip and kind of endeared himself to the rest of the Rangers Ed group. And then he's been heavily involved in the group chats going on, watching the game. So he earned himself an invite onto the show.
So I started the endearment process at the wedding, and I just kind of massaged it across the line. A couple beers, you know.
You endeared yourself to someone at the wedding, but it wasn't anyone in this Zoom. So,
Mikey, we got to cut that out.
Yeah.
wait a minute. Cousin Eddie taught you about hockey 16 years ago? That explains a lot.
Yeah, I wasn't, you know, to be honest, I wasn't the biggest hockey fan growing up, but after college, I worked at the Garden for a couple of years. I probably went to 100 Rangers games in the first 2-3 years of my career there, and fell in love with the game. But
tell them what you did at the Garden.
Yeah, so I worked for MSG Sports, selling season tickets and luxury boxes for the Knicks and Rangers for 2.5, close to 3 years. So that's where I started my career.
Nice. Never gave awesome. Me a deal.
I only gave it to the people that I liked.
It's all about who you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, let's recap the end of round two. So the Rangers move on to face Tampa Bay. So we left off after game four. It was a 2-2 series. They headed to Carolina game five, dropped a dud, lost 3-1, fell down 3-2, and then just like they did 3 times against Pittsburgh, 2 more times with their backs against the wall, the Rangers win, and both times convincingly. Game six, 5-2. Igor Shesterkin, 37 saves in both game six and seven. Game seven, 6-2. Never in doubt. Can't remember the last time I watched a game seven with the Rangers where I wasn't on the edge of my seat, nervous the whole time. Actually, that's a lie. That's a lie. I still was throughout the entire game until Hedl scored the fifth goal of the game. But so the Rangers move on. You know, 4-3, they beat a team that pretty much everyone predicted was going to beat the Rangers in this series outside of this podcast, you know, objective hockey analyst, not Coach Ed analyst, objective hockey analyst picked Carolina, and the Rangers played above their heads. So let's just start right off with Adam Fox. Adam Fox, most points by a defenseman in a single season of playoffs in elimination games. He's got 10 points in 5 elimination games in this playoff, passing Ray Bourque, Dennis Potvin, and Ian Turnbull to have the most in a single postseason when facing elimination. Coach, going into the season, you know, we had a lot of questions about Fox and his size and was he going to be able to hold up in the playoffs. Going into the Eastern Conference Finals, he's fourth in the NHL in points. In the NHL.
If I can remember correctly, we were all asking this question when Lindgren went down because he was, I think we were talking, he was kind of invisible for a couple of games. Is it a fact that Lindgren has that much of an effect on him? I think so. There's a comfort level, and he just is just not a lot of ways to describe it, you know, the way he maneuvers and moves the puck around. Rupper was having a lot to say about his little finesse game he's got and his smartness and whatnot, comparing him to Cale Makar, and it was pretty cool.
Well, when you look at Fox, right, he's not the fastest skater. He's not the biggest guy. He doesn't have the hardest shot. You know, he really – has the physical skills of like an average player when you break down his skills individually. But really what separates him is what we made fun of Micheletti for every single game. It's his brain and his awareness, right? His passing and all that. But like Little Ed, do you think that his dominance has been because of Lindgren, like Coach, or I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about Fox. I'm super impressed with his play. Yeah, he turned it over a few times against Pittsburgh. He was out of position. That's true. But overall, I can't ask for more, I think.
I think it's overall just that comfort level. I mean, I think it comes from Shesterkin as well, because as a defenseman, knowing that you have a goaltender behind you that's going to make a save or bail you out, if you're going to be able to take a chance here and there, I think that's what's making the difference. And we joke about it all the time, how we like say Lindgren and Fox are both in the offensive zone below the faceoff dot or whatever, but they're allowed to do that when they can trust the other teammates on the ice, and especially Shesterkin on the ice, like I said. And they're able to make those plays and make a difference and be dynamic players. And we keep saying that our best players have to be our best players. And they can't do that when they can't play the way they're used to playing. That makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, it has a lot to do with Lindgren, because, I mean, even now as a defenseman playing men's league, like, you have your partners that you like to play with. You have the ones that you could trust and you have the ones that you can't. So it's definitely a mental thing, 100%.
Yeah, Carl, Fox during the regular season had 11 goals in 77 games. He's got 5 in these playoffs, including a game winner, 2 on the power play. I mean, what do you think is the reason? Do you think he's shooting more? Do you think that he's creating more, getting more lanes? Like, I don't really know why that is, but he's got half as many goals in these playoffs than he had in the entire season.
Yeah, Fox is unbelievable to watch. He seems to see the ice 5 or 10 feet faster or ahead of everybody around him. When he also elevates his game in the biggest moments. When you think about the type of young stars you want to build a championship team around and embody the character of a player, it's somebody like Foxy. So it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, his goals have been big throughout the playoffs, right? So he scores the first goal of the playoffs for the Rangers in game one against Pittsburgh. He scores the first goal of game 5 after they're down 2-0 to get them going in a comeback victory. Last night, scores the first goal of the game on the power play. Another, you know, he steps in, gets a big goal, and he gets the game winner in game 4 against Carolina to tie the series. So, yeah, Fox's goals have all seemed to be big goals throughout the playoffs so far. So I'm interested to see, you know, how he does with a bigger team. I think Pittsburgh and Carolina are kind of comparable to what the Rangers were last year as far as size and grit, whereas I think Tampa is going to bring a little more of a heavier game, and I'm interested to see how Fox can, you know, adjust to that. But we'll get to that in a few. So let's, Coach, you don't have to raise your hand. You can just talk.
I just want to let you know I want to talk about Fox one more time. I, first of all, comparing him to – our boy Tony DeAngelo, there's freaking no comparison whatsoever. The skill set on Tony DeAngelo, the way he moves his feet and his shot and hockey skills, I think, is above him. But it's just like there's no comparison when you watch him head to head for 7 games.
That's the Coach Ed Norris watch, a little bonus for you.
Not even
close. I think Fox put it on his back. I think Fox said, you know what, if it's meant to be, then it's up to me. And I think he's just like taking control, to kind of taking that leadership on the team right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, Fox, maybe we didn't rely on him for goals as much during the regular season, but your best players look around, identify what the team needs. We've been so anemic in the 5-on-5 that he's taking more shots and making more plays. And that's what the best players do to win hockey games. And that's what he's doing. It's beautiful.
And I know we're not doing any awards today or anything, but the play of the game, play of the series, I didn't see it till I watched NHL Network or realized it when he got that deflection on Lindgren's goal. He saw that Kreider went off the ice to get a stick after he kept the puck in, knowing there was a guy back, and he went to the front of the net and got the deflection tip in. It looked like it was a big chance to us, but just him recognizing that in a split second in the heat of battle in the freak, I don't even remember what game it was. It was at least game 6. I don't remember.
Game four,
it was just, that was an amazing play. And it's something, that little subtle play goes really unnoticed by a lot of people, but that's just him in a nutshell.
Yeah. So I mean, you can say a lot of things, but you bring up a good point with DeAngelo. Obviously in the first couple of years of this podcast, you know, DeAngelo was a hot topic. The Rangers went through a lot of controversy. We all went through our ups and downs with Tony D. But I gotta say, I'm so disappointed in myself for rooting for that guy. You know, he is a complete douchebag. He really, like, I don't have any, like, his reactions to things, the way he plays, that unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, shooting the puck after the whistle, You know, like, that, give me a break. You know, just give me a break with that kind of crap. You know,
that's
like
all
you
said, like, Coach, that's all like high school hockey bullshit.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. You know, and the thing is, like you said, if it was a skills competition, you know, maybe D'Angelo would beat Fox in a skills competition. But when it comes to playing the game of hockey and positioning and understanding and, you know,
maturity level
awareness, right? D'Angelo is by far below Fox. It's not even close. Like, it's not even, he's not in the same stratosphere. You know, and what's funny about D'Angelo, so at the handshake line, I was really watching to see D'Angelo shake Georgiev's hand. I really wanted to see what they did. And they showed D'Angelo shaking hands with Zibanejad. Zibanejad kind of put his hand on D'Angelo's head and said something, you know, I guess they're friends, whatever. Georgiev was next, and then ESPN cut away. And I was like, kind of, you know, that's terrible broadcasting. You know, you got to be a little bit aware of what's going on with the teams. Like, you don't know that D'Angelo and Georgiev, you know, had something going on. You maybe highlight that part of the handshake line.
And everyone's waiting to see it.
Right. I mean, I wanted to see. I'm sure they just shook hands like professionals, but
I got
to
give him credit for that. He was a professional. He took the loss on the handshake line. I thought something might have happened or something stupid, but that wasn't bad seeing him do that, where he just shook hands and took it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been on another level if he did something during the handshake line.
Well, we'll see what if
yeah,
I was too.
Great.
I was too. But we'll see. Carl can maybe update us when he's watching golf, if D'Angelo's a better golfer than Crosby. I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, coming up soon. But let's talk about Chris Kreider. You know, Kreider, in the first round, he kind of picked up where he left off during the season. I feel like he was really impactful. He scored 5 goals in that series. I feel like in this series, you know, outside of maybe a couple plays here and there, he was mostly invisible. Wasn't really hitting, wasn't in on the forecheck. Even though Zibanejad was going, I didn't see it from Kreider. And then all of a sudden in game 7, he just rises to the occasion, plays a really good game. You know, it's, Mike, you brought up, I think last podcast, you know, where are those Kreider deflections? I don't think I've seen one in these playoffs. And then bam, game 7 gets that beautiful deflection. My wife's watching. She goes,
"That was so nice.
He didn't do that on purpose. That was an accident." I was like, "No, he did it on purpose. That's his thing." So, I mean, Mike, what do you think about Kreider stepping up in game 7, particularly with his history of excelling in elimination games?
I think it's fantastic. I think that's the consistency problem that we've always had with Kreider and his streakiness. And hopefully it continues, because for the Rangers to go further and actually make the Stanley Cup, he needs to be that consistent. So hopefully it's a start to something that continues.
Yeah, and Coach, like I said, most career goals in games when facing elimination in NHL history, Mark Messier is the most all-time, 16. Kreider is second, tied with Jágr, Gilbert Perreault, Maurice Richard, and Justin Williams, whose nickname is Mr. Game 7, with 15.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that stat existed, really, and when I saw that last night.
I mean, you can make the argument that means he's faced elimination a lot of times, which isn't necessarily a good thing. You know,
whatever the case,
he's facing elimination.
He produced.
Yeah, I mean, to be mentioned with those players, I think you eventually got to start making a case that, you know, Kreider is a big time playoff performer. And I think when we look back at the last Rangers run of maybe 5 or 6 years where they went deep and just didn't win the cup with Hank, you know, that kind of gets lost in there a little bit, because we focused on Lundqvist so much as fans, you know, wanting him to get the cup. But Kreider is, you know, second all time on the Rangers list in playoff goals, second all time in NHL history in goals when facing elimination. He's a clutch player, right, Coach? I mean, I think I'm looking to Kreider to lead the way against Tampa in big spots.
I mean, first of all, that deflection goal, Zibanejad actually shot it to that place on purpose, was another incredible play. He recognized Kreider was by himself. And I mean, I know he did, in my opinion, he took a couple of games off. But again, you got to remember the other teams guarding against that. On that deflection goal, he was left all alone. I think it was Shea made a mistake and went up towards the wall. But
I'm shocked that Shea made a mistake.
He's freaking I thought he was banging the whole series. I mean, maybe a game he was a little off, but I thought he played a good series. He was leading well. I thought he's into it. I, I'm I'm hoping he comes out and plays against Tampa like that and keeps it going.
I mean, Carl, what is your opinion of Kreider in the series? Do you think that, you know, like Coach said, that he was into it and you saw him involved, or do you kind of agree that you needed a little bit more from him?
I think overall, his body of work for the series, we needed a little more from him. But I think there's kind of another side to that coin. You know, he stepped up when we needed him the most, and we need the best version of Kreider to beat Tampa Bay. So maybe this is the spark that gets him rolling, because I think you're right. Like, I think the best version of him, like, we can't beat Tampa Bay without that. So forgive him for the games that he didn't play his best. He brought it when we needed him the most. We don't need to look back and analyze why we lost the series, because we didn't lose the series. So let's take this to the next series and give them the best version of the Rangers, and Kreider playing well is a central part of that.
Little Ed, why isn't the C on Kreider's chest yet?
I think it's going to happen. I think he's playing, I mean, kind of to take Mike's words out of his mouth about Fox, I think he's playing like he's carrying the team on his back now. And I think it's going to open his eyes to show him how important he is to the lineup, like, even more. He had two patented Kreider goals, the deflection and then that breakaway to the backhand. Just perfect. The goalie didn't even, like, see him skate by him. It was just beautiful goal. Jacob Slavin's no slouch as a skating defenseman, so he was able to just fly right by him, no problem, guarding the puck. And it was just fantastic. I mean, I thought overall he could have had a little bit more. I didn't really see him forechecking too hard or hitting. I still think he's a little banged up. Might have like a slight rib injury or something, where maybe the coach is telling him not to go hard into the corners. Or too hard into the corners, something like that. But if he's going to produce like this and especially be effective on the power play, it's going to be very dangerous, because Fox is going to keep doing what Fox he does. Mika's going to keep shooting the puck. So Kreider's got to get his big ass in front of Vasilevsky.
Yeah, that's going to be really important. And we'll get there in a minute. But, you know, I think you made a good point about Slavin on that breakaway goal. You know, we've seen Kreider do that ton of times in his career on those stretches. But Jacob Slavin, like you said, he's no slouch as to skating. Those are your words. He's probably one of the best skating defensemen in the league. Probably one of the fastest defensemen in the league, I would say. He's probably
wasn't he 10. In the skills? I think he was in the skills competition 1 year for the fastest skater, maybe.
Yeah, and it just shows that, you know, when Kreider gets that extra gear, you know, he's gone. And for him to finish that, it's huge. It was a big goal. And like you all saying, you know, we can debate his individual play throughout the series, but at the end of the day, when we needed him to, he stepped up. Two big goals in game seven. You know, I can't ask for much more than what he's given so far. But so let's move on to Igor Shesterkin. So Shesterkin gets pulled in game three and game four against the Penguins. Not his best performances. Seems like the crowd got in his head. He was a little bit rattled. Ever since then, 939 save percentage in the three games against Pittsburgh, games 5-7 and round two combined, which is higher than his regular season save percentage. For the playoffs, even with all those terrible performances, he's got a 928 save percentage overall.
My God.
And against the Hurricanes, he stopped 222 of 234 shots for a 949 save percentage.
Even last night was 39 shots. You thought we dominated? They got 39 shots on goal.
No, the team dominated.
No, I'm just saying it looked like there wasn't even close, but they got 39 shots on goal. That's a lot. Even they weren't high percentage, but they're at the net.
Some of them were high percentage. And coach, you know, when I say the team dominated, remember it's your adage. Goalie's part of the team, right? So
without a doubt.
Overall, the team performance was a dominant performance, but that includes Igor, who at 2-0 Rangers makes an incredible toe save going right to left. I don't know how the hell he saved that. I mean, that's a little bit of luck, right? I mean, he's got the skill to push off and get over there, but, oh, man, I pulled my groin just watching that save. So, I mean, he just makes these grade-A saves, and it completely deflates the other team. You know, I really think – that he got in Carolina's head. I think Carolina was nervous about they weren't going to be able to catch up. They weren't going to be able to score. They kept getting decent chances and missing the net, trying to be perfect. You know, that's the other thing too, as a player, when you're playing a really good goalie, you know, you start holding your stick a little tighter and you start trying to think you need to shoot perfectly to score. And like, you're not just ripping the puck on net and getting it off. You're trying to pick that corner and you miss the net, you hit the post, you know, things happen. So, Little Ed, I mean, with Igor's performance against Carolina, the big talk going forward is Igor Shesterkin against Andre Vasilevsky. All right, that's the big story. In the West, you got Nathan MacKinnon versus Connor McDavid, two of the best centers in the league. And in the East, you got two of the best goalies in the league, probably the two best, in Igor against Vasilevsky. So Igor's faced third-string goalies and second-string goalies and a hobbled Tristan Jarry so far. I mean, do you think Igor is going to take this personally going into Tampa, that he needs to up his game to match Vasilevsky?
How much up can his game be?
Yeah, I think it's
going to need to be up, Coach, before I let Little Ed answer that, because Vasilevsky, in his last seven series clinching games, has allowed one goal on 200 shots. He's 7-0 with a 0.14 goals against average, a .995 save percentage, and six shutouts in series clinching games.
That's insane.
He gave up three goals to the highest scoring team in the league, who won the President's Trophy in a four-game sweep. So I think Igor might have to up his game, as good as he's playing. So, Little Ed, do you think Igor's going to take that personally? He's a Russian countryman. You know, he's the Vezina Trophy winner this year, Igor. And he wants to get it done when it counts so that he gets cemented in that same conversation. Do you think he takes that personally?
I think he absolutely does. I think it depends. If it's any other goalie in the league, goalies are very competitive. They always want to be the best. They always have to be the starters. They always have to play every game or want to play every game. So looking across the crease and seeing another goaltender, especially a two-time Stanley Cup champion, and then adding a fellow countryman on top of that, yeah, he's going to definitely want to prove himself or prove to the league that it's not just the regular season and he's able to step up when it counts. I mean, he already did that. I tend to like disagree. I hate when everyone keeps saying that the Rangers played the backups or the third string, blah, 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 or Igor didn't face anybody extravagant. Igor's facing the other team. He's not necessarily facing the other goalie. But seeing Vasilevsky across the crease with his pedigree, and Shesterkin's still an up-and-comer, and everyone keeps talking about how he's going to win the Vezina. He definitely wants to prove it that it's more than just the Vezina, and it's going to be the playoffs and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, Carl, Igor all year has been the backbone of this team. In the early part of the season, before the Rangers made all the acquisitions they did and before they turned their defensive game around, you know, the numbers showed the Rangers were a below-average team, and Igor carried them. Eventually, those numbers shifted. Igor's game didn't shift though, right? And then we get to the playoffs. He faces a little bit of adversity. He's never played this many games in his career before, and he's answering the questions about whether he could be a playoff goalie. I mean, how confident are you going in facing Vasilevsky with Igor behind you?
Couldn't be more confident. Igor stared across the ice at him in the other crease three times this year, and we got 9 points. During the stretch of the playoffs, we've been drubbed like 221 to 122 in high danger chances by the Penguins and Hurricanes. And he's had nearly 12 goals saved above expectations. Like, he's locked in. The moment I knew we were going to win that game last night came in the anthem before the game. I don't know if you guys caught this. Igor had his sweater pulled up. He was just staring down into the darkness, getting himself locked in. There's nothing that could shake him right now. And if there was something that was going to shake him, it already would have shaken him. And look at the way he's playing right now. I couldn't be more confident. Now, it's not going to be all up to Igor. You know, we need to be better in front of him. There's only so much the man can do. I think we all know that, but I have no doubt that he's going to be able to step up and play the type of goal we need. I have all the confidence in the world.
Yeah, stat guy Carl comes in with a goal save above expected. I love that.
Boy, yeah, really, you can tell really he's talking hockey.
Yeah, he's really kissing up to you.
Carl did his research. No, he's right. He's right. Even, you know, Shesterkin, you know, a lot of people are focusing on the struggles he had against Pittsburgh, but his goal saved above expected is still top three in the NHL at worst. Depends on which site you use for the playoffs, you know, and we look at the high danger chances. I mean, Carolina got a ton of chances. They did. I mean, the Rangers got to clean that up a little bit. You know, Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos is a little different than Sebastian Aho and Teuvo Teravainen, you know? So right. I think not
a lot different. You had Sid, Malkin, you had guys that were putting pucks in the net all over in the season and he shut them down. Stamkos is unbelievable. They have an unbelievable team. This series is going to come down, like I've said, and all the analysts say, to the intangibles. That's what it's going to come down to. Our third, fourth liners and their third, fourth liners, if they're going to be able to put some pucks in the net.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, we'll talk about the series breakdown in a minute. I have some thoughts there, but just to wrap this piece up, you know, there's kind of two ways that players respond to adversity. You can completely crumble or you can bounce back and play even better. I think the proof is in the pudding on what we just saw in this series. So that didn't shake my confidence at all, what happened in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I agree.
He's going to be ready.
I think Igor is going to be awesome. I think he wants, he wants to be known as the best. He has that competitive drive. You know, you can see it. All the players say it about him.
A lot of Ranger fans in Tampa too. So he's not going to have the same experience he had in Pittsburgh. But yeah, real quick, that what we were saying the whole series too is how well the Rangers were playing, clearing the front of the net, getting rid of the rebounds, not as many deflection as they gave up against Pittsburgh. Little things like that make a huge difference. And you actually look across, and that's a lot how the Lightning play. I mean, I watched a little bit of the Panthers series, and that's because the Panthers were getting a shit ton of shots, but they weren't getting any rebounds, no deflections, no traffic in front, none of the small garbage goals that matter a lot in the playoffs. So if the Rangers can keep that up and keep their heavy hitters out from in front of the net or out from like the high danger areas, I think they'll be in good shape. They did a great job clearing the front of the net, like I said, and also blocking shots. I didn't really see a lot of that in the Pittsburgh series. And you look around the NHL and the other playoff series, and that's how all these other teams are playing, blocking shots, giving up the body. And the Rangers really started to do that in the Carolina series. They blocked a lot of shots, and they gave Igor a lot of help, like we were talking about before this series started, where we had to give Igor a chance also. Igor's making the first save without a doubt, and the Rangers are doing a great job of making the second save.
100%. That's a great point. I mean, think about who scored for Carolina. The first two games we lost, you had what's his name? Cole. What was the defenseman's name?
Yeah, Ian Cole.
He scores. I mean, give me a break. And then Brendan Smith in the second game.
It was off Lindgren's stick, so it wasn't even a good goal.
I mean, their top guys weren't getting anything going for 2-3 games. I mean, we should have won that series in five, in my opinion. The Rangers played that good in the first game. They just couldn't bury any. And they've been playing well this series.
Yeah, I mean, I think games two and game five were dominated by Carolina overall. But I think we should have won game one. Definitely, we deserve to win that game. So, you know, look, it is what it is. It went seven. But, you know, Ed, you bring up a good point about rebound control. I just want to make this point. It's not just the Rangers clearing the rebounds. If you watch Shesterkin, when he makes a pad save or a blocker save, he angles pucks into the corners all day when he's on. You know, he's making saves and they're going right into the corner, he's shoveling them himself into the corner as well. And that's going to be important too. I think this is, two similar teams coming up here with Tampa. But before we do that, let's talk about Jacob Trouba. Mike, Jacob Trouba.
Choo-choo.
trains Seth Jarvis. Clean hit. Again, clean hit. Shoulder to chest. Jarvis a little smaller, so maybe it got to upper chest, okay? No hit to the head. Jarvis goes down, can't get off the ice. He's crawling off the ice because his skate blade is broken from the hit. He broke his skate blade on the hit as well. And upper body injury. He gets off the ice. Carolina player jumps on because the Rangers are in a rush. Too many men on the ice. 2-0 Rangers. Jacob Trouba, first round, crushes Sidney Crosby. Knocks him out. Knocks him out of the series, middle of game five. After that, Rangers come back. They were down 2-0 at the time, win that series. The physicality of Jacob Trouba is making a difference now. You can really see, why Jeff Gorton and John Davidson went in and said, this is the kind of defenseman that we can win with in the playoffs. I mean, just talk a little bit about Trouba's impact going forward against Tampa. Are we expecting him to maybe crush Kucherov or something? I don't know.
He needs to play his game. He'll get his chance, and he just needs to play his game because that's part of his game. I think I said it earlier in the season. He deserves to play on Sunday. He hits like a linebacker.
Yeah, he's a big physical defenseman. There's not many of them left in the NHL, Coach. I mean, back when you were, our age in 1952, there were a lot of big defensemen, physical defensemen, right? That it was, hard to get by, big hits.
Well, you had that fear of crossing the blue line with your head down. The rules kind of took that out of play for a decent proportion. But I don't think Trouba's going to say, I'm going to get Kucherov this series. I think the opportunity comes up in a game. It doesn't matter who it is. And he has that lane and that sight. And he's just going to take it. It doesn't really matter who it is. He's going to take it. I don't think he said in that game against Pittsburgh, I got to hit Sid. He was coming across with his head down. He dropped the shoulder and he got him.
Yeah.
I mean, Jarmus wasn't dominating the series. Like, I have to hit him. The opportunity came up and it sets a tone. And that's the way it goes. I mean, who's the one that he got the retaliation and we got the power play goal? Who did he hit that game?
That was Max Domi.
That was another.
Well, he didn't even hit him. He fell and missed him. Technically,
he still got a piece of him, and it was a nasty hit. It was a nice play.
Yeah, I mean, look, Trouba, a little lad. Trouba is public enemy number one with the fans right now. Every fan, there's not a Ranger fan, hates Trouba. Yeah, I mean, I said it last episode. You look on Twitter, you can just type in Jacob Trouba into Twitter and just read the posts from fans. Here's a few of them. Bro, Trouba needs to be banned from the league with an almost daily accidental elbow into someone's face. Getting ridiculous, this clown is continually allowed to just try and end people's seasons. Jacob Trouba with a high hit to take a player out of the game? This has never happened before. I'm shocked. Yet another completely accidental chicken wing raised hit to the head by Jacob Trouba, wobbling Seth Jarvis. You know, I love it as a Rangers fan, but we have a player that all these other teams hate. And all of this is wrong. This is all incorrect. He's not doing that.
It's just bitterness.
Right? I mean, literally, what's your take on Trouba being hated? Do you think that seeps from the fans to the actual players of other teams? Do you think maybe the Lightning are sitting there or the Hurricanes were and saying, this guy's a scumbag. You know, we got to watch out when he's out there.
I think it's 100% planting the seed in the other team's heads. I mean, Kucherov is definitely going to think twice when he comes across the middle. Like I was just saying, that's part of taking away the middle of the ice. If Kucherov or Stamkos knows that if they cut across the middle to try and get a shot on Shesterkin, they're going to get hit, especially when Keandre or Trouba are out there. You know, I mean, Lindgren's not one to shy away either. So it's not only Trouba. I mean, he's setting the tone for the rest of the team and the entire defense core are all playing very tough. Schneider's throwing hits also. So it's great to hear all that shit talk and stuff like that. But I think the most important thing is that it's in the minds of Kucherov and some of the big guns for Tampa, because they already lost point. If they lose Kucherov, they don't have many offensive guns left.
Yeah, I mean, we're not rooting for injuries or anything, but what I meant by I think
it's a hockey play.
I think Trouba, you know, when you say the rest of the D is playing physical, I don't disagree, but none of them are laying open ice hits like Trouba is, right? I mean, Carl, like Jacob Trouba, have you seen another defenseman lay an open ice hit? Not just a Ranger. You've watched a lot of Rangers.
Suspend him. Doug, yeah. Kick him off the tour.
I mean, listen, to be able to play that physical and do it without landing in the penalty box is an art form. If they don't appreciate that, they could fuck off. Like, you know, it's not really our problem. I just want Kucherov to be thinking about it. And also, that physicality is important. Like, we're playing the biggest, heaviest team in the NHL coming up. We need to maintain that physicality, and we need to plant that in their brains going into this series. Because if we don't play with that physicality, we're going to get steamrolled. So I love it. I want to keep seeing it. And I think that's a big part of why we won the series.
Yeah, and one of my favorite Trouba tweets, by the way. So Trouba last night in game 7, he got a penalty for shooting the puck over the glass delay a game. Did you guys catch that?
Yes.
So actually, it turns out that when he shot the puck over the glass, it hit a fan in the head. So this person writes, Jacob Trouba with another headshot shooting the puck over the glass hits a fan in the head. So I thought that was kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, listen, we're not rooting for injuries and we don't want dirty hockey, but Trouba does not play dirty hockey. Anybody who's played hockey or understands hockey can see and analyze these hits and understand that they're clean hits. You know, it's part of the game. You know, if you want to take that out of the game, that's a different conversation, but it's part of the game as it currently stands.
Don't you think that they were watching Trouba after the Crosby hit? If he knocks Sidney Crosby out of the game, the NHL is going to be watching what he's doing. And nothing has happened since, knock wood, that was in the penalty box or illegal. So they could tweet all they want. If the league isn't going to call it a penalty, which it isn't, then it would, you know, then they're just bitter.
Yeah, they don't like it. If he was on their team, they would love it. But So let's talk about Trouba's D partner, Keandre Miller, who I thought in this series took another step in his development. I thought he was great the entire series, all game seven in particular. I was standing up and saying, what a play by Miller. Oh, man, what a play by Miller. Wow, what a play by Miller. Over and over, subtle little plays with his stick in the corner. Not overly physical. I think he'll develop that game a little more. But when you look at the combination of his speed and reach with Trouba's physicality, I mean, I don't know if they're going to keep this pair together next year, but it's working right now, coach. I mean, the two of them with all those different skills that they bring to each other's game, I think is just a perfect combination right now.
Right now it's flowing for sure. And Keandre, couple of the youngsters, him and Laffey, have really stepped up their grittiness in these playoffs. It's really great to see. I mean, they're not killing people like Trouba, but they're digging in, protecting the goalie, making hits when they need to without getting out of the play. I think it's really nice to see that definitely growing up in 14 games. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, little Ed, like you see Miller, he makes like a poke check with a stick or he tries to control the puck in the corner. And my first instinct is like, oh, don't do that. Like, you don't want players to stick check usually in a playoff game. You want the man on the body. I feel like when Miller does it, I'm getting more and more comfortable that he's going to succeed. He's just so good with that poke check. You know, I feel like poke check is an art form for a defenseman. You play D. You know, a good sweeping poke check is as effective as being on the person's body, especially, you know, if you can get control of the puck easier. But I still want to see him develop that physical game, right? I mean, do you think maybe in this series he can bring that physical game to, you know, his stick work?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Ed will say right now that he always used to get on me for not being as physical, but some players just don't really have that extra killer instinct that we were just talking about with Trouba. I mean, I know that it's a fine line between laying people out open ice and just being a little more physical along the boards and stuff. But I mean, yeah, I would definitely like for him to be a little bit more physical just because of his size in general. And if he added that to his game, like a Victor Hedman, like we discussed earlier in the season, he would be just unstoppable. You know, so combine that, the reach with a little bit more physicality. I mean, already below the goal line, he's one of the best defensemen right now in the league, in my opinion, below the goal line and being able to take away that part of the ice
in the world.
That's my Joe Micheletti for the pod. So yeah, I mean, like if you just add in that little extra grit, we see him here and there laying people out, hip checks, coming down one-on-ones and stuff like that. So as long as he's not shying away, I mean, he's playing his game. Let him keep playing his game.
I would also say, even if he doesn't get more physical in the series, when we think about, you know, what Trouba puts in the mind of the opponent with his physicality, Miller is almost like having an extra half a defenseman out there with his speed and reach. You put that in the mind of the offensive players. This guy's so long and so fast. I have so little time to make a decision. That could influence the way they play as well. So it's not quite as intimidating where you might get concussed or knocked off your skates with a broken skate by the end of it. But that doesn't mean that his skill set doesn't change the mind of the opponent. So I think it's just a different type of intimidation, but it's still bringing a lot to our back line.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. So let's talk about another youngster, Carl, Filipetto, 4 goals in the series against Carolina, including 2 in game 6 and 1 in game 7. And that goal in game 7, even though it was the 5th goal, was a huge goal. Carolina had just scored. It came less than a minute later to make it 5-1. I think Hedl is becoming a man before our eyes. I mean, he gets into the corner with Brendan Smith, a big physical defenseman. He reverse hits him, comes out with the puck and just snipes a backhander, short side, top corner. Where's that finish been, right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Where is the ability to finish been all season? 8 goals in the regular season, 5 in these playoffs. I mean, what can you say about Filipetto right now?
Man, I've been texting you for the last week nonstop about this kid line. We're watching this line grow up right in front of our eyes. You know, the way Hedl's finishing, but not just Hedl, it's Laffey and Kako too. I mean, we're watching what could be one of the best 2-3 lines in hockey within the next 2 years. All 22 flying around, bringing tons of energy, gaining extra possessions, like just creating chaos out there. And, you know, a criticism and a fair one of our offensive attack all year has been we're pretty top heavy and relying on the power play, which isn't necessarily untrue at this point. But if we can keep getting that type of production from that line, becomes much more balanced, which we need badly, especially in the 5-on-5.
Yeah, I agree. Mike, say something good about Hedl.
What I'll say about Hedl is a couple, whatever, a couple months ago when you said he's buzzing. Now I understand what you mean by buzzing, because I do see it.
Now he's buzzing.
Yeah, I see the buzzing in Hedo. But
because you notice it more because he's finishing now, and he wasn't finishing.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, where you notice it more is in the defensive zone, that whole line. How many plays has Laffy been down by the goal line, making plays in our zone, getting the puck, and that creates the puck getting out, and then their speed takes over.
Yeah.
That the Rangers right now, like Eddie was saying before, I think they went to a man-on-man defense. Their defensemen without the puck are playing unbelievable right now. And the forwards the same way. That's why they're getting no second chances. They're covering the open man. They're not puck watching. And that's what it's going to take. And
yeah,
that young line is so speedy. That's what they should have been doing against Pittsburgh. And they weren't at that point. But now they found something. And they're going to need them in this series. It's going to be an exciting series.
Coach, just to add to that, the speed of that line is going to be really important in this series.
Yeah.
It was the second most penalized team all season long. Speed creates those types of penalties.
Another stat by Carl, huh?
We can't have this be even strength series or else we're going to get toasted. We need to be creating chaos. We need to get on the power play. That'll tilt it back to even for us. So that's going to be super important.
Yeah, they have to be nervous about taking penalties without a doubt. So it's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah,
I don't think Tampa's as chippy as Carolina. I think they're a little bit more of a – Carolina was a little bit more of a crybaby attitude and chippy and frustrated, and the Rangers just played into it, and they paid the price. They played well.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina's got a faster team than Tampa. Tampa's, defense are big and lugging, except for really McDonough and Hedman. They got Bogosian, Chernak. Those guys are liable to take stick penalties if we get some speed going. So I think that's a good point. But, Coach, you brought up the defensive acumen as well of that line, not just, Hedl finishing, which, of course, you haven't said anything about yet. But, Kako on the Hedl goal last night steals the puck at the blue line and propels Hedl, who was trailing on the play. I mean, Kako made that whole play, right? I mean, so Kako's only good. He's only got 3 points in these playoffs. Not all about points. The whole line is really contributing different aspects. And, generally, what are your thoughts on Kako? Because I feel like Lafreniere has really stepped up to the point where it's like everybody's noticing it. The whole league is noticing Laffy. Hedl's got the goals. He's got 5 playoff goals, right? So they're noticing that. Kako's kind of not being noticed as much. But as fans watching the game, I mean, what are you seeing in Kako's game?
Kako, I mean, we're not noticing it again, but the coaches are noticing it. They see what's going on. They're going to stick with it. They know what it's about. They know the positioning he's in, his responsibility. And again, I know you were frustrated a lot with these guys playing in certain situations, but look what happened. It paid off dividends. Now they're ready. And when it counts, their defensive responsibility is there. And it's going to be real important. And Kako is definitely defensively responsible. And he's got a little more size than Laffy. So he's able to get along the wall and battle a little better. And he makes those quick turns. He holds possession of the puck in the offensive zone. And those little things are, again, magnified in the playoffs. You don't do it for a game or two in the season. All right, they go 1-0-1. But in the playoffs, you do that for, you don't do it for 2 games. And it's magnified because you get to game 7 and it's over. You know the cliches. So it's important and it's going to be real important. I think they, again, like everybody's been saying, they learned a lot in these 14 games. They grew up real quick.
Yeah, no, good point. And Little Ed, I mean, last thing on this line, I mean, Gallant in the middle of the series broke the line up, right? In game 5, I think he split the lineup and he moved guys around in the lineup trying to generate some offense, put them back together. And they just picked up right where they left off. I mean, going into the series with Tampa, you're not changing this, right? You're sticking with it. Even let's say game 1 comes and that line generates no points, but plays decent. I mean, what are you going to do? You stick with it at this point.
You got to stick with it. Cause just like Coach Ed said, they have the defensive responsibilities now. And that's the big thing with the third line in the playoffs that we've been stressing. And that's how Tampa won their last 2 cups. Not only are we going to rely on them to put up a few points, but they're going to have to shut down, say, Tampa's third line or line matchups against when we have the home ice advantage or vice versa. So it's going to be very important all over the ice. And that was the biggest thing I was going to bring up, where I'm tired of hearing how Kako's not producing or whatnot. But I met one kid last night, He's actually one of the partners of the new restaurant where Chow Baby used to be. So hopefully we can get some viewing parties going on over there. But he brought up the biggest thing. He's like, that kid's going to win the Selke in the next couple of years, you know? So, and I definitely said that once or twice in the past. So I think that's very important that the casual fan might not necessarily notice or see. And you just said that he always makes that nice little play where it's like, okay, he didn't get the assist, but the play started with him keeping the puck in at the point or wherever it was.
His defensive metrics have been awesome since the beginning of last year. I mean, we talked about it last year with Kako and his defense, and he wasn't getting points, but he was like fifth in the league in takeaways. You know, I mean, he's a really, really smart player, and I think the points will come as he develops, you know. But shouldn't we make Coach say something good about Hedl? He still hasn't.
I also think that the reason why they split them up is because they had that young, excited, energetic energy, even though they weren't putting points or whatever. Like they could, like they kind of drove the line. They kind of said, like, maybe if I put Hedl out with the old guy Kreider, he's gonna start playing like a young guy again, you know. And I think it worked. I think it really worked. So like splitting them up and just throwing them on the line, throwing a kid on each line, really got the men going again. As corny as it sounds.
Infused some energy in there.
Yeah, made them feel young again. I think it really made a difference. And if Gallant's showing trust, I think that really like sends a message to the rest of the team too.
Yeah.
You want me to give my Hedl synopsis now? You ready?
I've been waiting for this. I haven't pressured you via text because I've been saving it for the pod.
The turning point probably came in that game where Eddie almost jumped off the seat or whatever when he gave that puck away and Pittsburgh scored. Because now if you watch, we say it every time, holy shit, Hedl dumped it in. Look at what he's doing. His puck management, I've been saying it all year, the Rangers' puck management has improved drastically in the last 5-6 games. And him is noticeable to me especially. He's getting pucks deep. Laffy's going to get it. He's cycling behind them. They're supporting each other. And that's how you play the game. It's not that European with the big ice where you're just going to try to make all this crap happen. And when they learn that in playoff action, that's when you're going to succeed. And that's what's been happening.
Yeah.
In an picture, I'm hoping he grew up. Look, I gave up on him because of his mental aspect. His skills, I've been saying it all year. You watch him in the warm-up. The kid's phenomenal. Skating, shooting, stick handling. Put him in traffic. What's going on in the game? To me, he looked horrible. Now his game stepped up and he's producing. Hopefully one's going hand in hand and he learns.
He's having a lot more fun too.
Playing with a ton of confidence.
That whole always line. Do when the puck saying. Was in the net, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's
I got other, one other. Are we leaving the Carolina thing, series yet?
Yeah, we're going to, but that's the other thing with Hedl for me is I've noticed the skills and I didn't give up on him because I see that and it's going to come, right? I'm hoping. But for him to start finishing, that's a confidence thing. And that can carry over to next two out of this playoffs. He's going to take a successful playoffs where he scored some goals and hopefully stay healthy next year and score in the regular season too. Go ahead, Coach.
First of all, I think they said a stat the other night. Was it Slavin? That was up for the Lady Bing trophy. There was a defenseman on Carolina, either the Selke or the Lady Bing.
It was Slavin.
For the Lady Bing, right?
It was last season, I think.
I don't want my defenseman up for the Lady Bing. I'm sorry. Especially one of my supposedly better ones. You're not winning the Lady Bing trophy as a defenseman. Come on.
What about Fox? Fox can win the Lady Bing.
I wouldn't be happy.
Coach doesn't want any player on the team to win the Lady Bing.
Come on, Fox, get 10 penalties. Grit your teeth a little bit as a defenseman.
I think Gretzky won it like 9 times, by the way. But
Gretzky, all right. You know, Mike Bossy. Those are the type of players you want winning the Lady Bing, not your defenseman, not one of your biggest, strongest skating defensemen on the team.
All right, so let's transition into the Tampa series. And this
Wait a minute. We're not done with Carolina yet. We're watching game 6. And what did I say in the pregame, man? We're at the bar.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
Goudreau, tape it up, baby. Tape it up.
I'm sitting there. They didn't show him yet. I'm like, guys, Goudreau's got to come out like Willis Reed in game 7. He's got to tape it up and come out. Not 5 minutes later, his face is on the big screen in the bar.
And you know, Coach Ed isn't on Twitter. He's not on Instagram. He didn't say any news that day.
I knew nothing that they were talking. Completely
called it.
Unbelievable. Love that. Actually, I wanted to.
And wait. First, we're saying. First, we're saying who's not going to dress. So we're watching the warm up. Like, it's got to be Heedle. They got to play Rooney. Heedle's got to be out.
Unbelievable. The hate that you guys give Heedle for no reason.
I was saying Heedle. I don't know. I'm sure Mike was too in his head.
So, all right. So let's transition into the Tampa series. And this is a good topic to transition it on. Artemi Panarin. All right. So the last time the Tampa Bay Lightning lost a playoff series was to Columbus and Artemi Panarin. It was that long ago when Columbus swept Tampa in the first round. They've been undefeated in all series since then. So Panarin has faced this pretty much this core of Lightning players prior to them being Cup champions and beat them. He really has not made an impact for the Rangers in these playoffs. I know he scored the overtime winner in Game 7 against Pittsburgh. And yeah, he scored that power play goal the other night. I felt like he cut down his turnovers last night in Game 7, which was good. But he's still not impacting the game like Artemi Panarin can. How much do we need Artemi Panarin to have an impact to actually beat Tampa, Carl? I mean, how much does Panarin have to impact these games? Can he be a passenger like he's been?
Absolutely not. He's not been good, but his upside presents another level for this team. And we need to find another level if we're going to beat Tampa Bay. If we play the way that we played in these series, outside of some flashes and some individual games, we're going to get steamrolled. The best version of the Rangers has Kreider flying, has Panarin creating chances. Like, we're getting outshot, out-attempted, out-chanced dramatically in all of these series. And we need Panarin out there to be the facilitator that he is if we're going to have a chance in the series. So I absolutely believe he needs to be a central part and needs to elevate his game tremendously if we're gonna win the series and go to the Cup Finals.
Yeah, I mean, Coach, when you look at Panarin during the regular season, you know, those cross-ice east-west passes, really west-to-east passes that he makes when he comes over the blue line, you know, like Eddie, I think you've talked about this, you know, one out of every five connects and it goes in, right? It's a flashy play, but the other four are broken up. In the playoffs, that gets magnified because it leads to an odd man rush the other way, whatever. I feel like last night, Panarin simplified his game a little bit. He didn't turn the puck over the blue line. He looked a little more physical in the corners on the puck, not physical on the body, but physical on the puck. Do you think he can adjust his game? Because I haven't really seen it in these playoffs where his ability to adjust his game and still be impactful, right? Because he's impactful when he's creating plays, facilitating the puck, like Carl said. But can he adjust his game against Tampa and still be impactful?
Well, first of all, what happened last night was 100% spot on what you said, but what happened? I think Kopp and Strome stepped up their game a little bit. Strome was buzzing, and that's going to – if Tampa's playing the Rangers and they say, let's just – every time Panarin gets the puck, let's get two guys on him, Strome isn't doing anything, then it's a lot easier for Tampa. But like Wayne Gretzky used to say, if two guys are covering me, that means another guy is wide open. I got to find him, and that's what he used to do. So that's what it's going to take. Panarin, Strome, and Kopp playing together, figuring it out in the offensive zone – to find that open man, then they can't double team Panarin. Then his game gets easier and everything just goes into each other. So it's all, I know Panarin, it seems like, isn't playing great. I'm not a fan of him sometimes, obviously, but that's what it takes. And again, magnified in the playoffs, like you said, he'll step up when guys are getting open so he could just flow the puck to an area and hit Strome. They got to read it and they got to make it happen as well.
Yeah. I mean, little Ed, you've been harping on the don't give Panarin a star of the game for, you know, an assist on the power play out of nowhere when he turns it over five times in the game. And we talked about his turnovers last podcast. He had 28 giveaways these playoffs. I mean, are you confident in Panarin right now? Do you think he's got another level, or do you think they're going to have to kind of just keep rolling the way they're rolling?
I think he's going to have to step up his game 100%. 5-on-5. I mean, we don't have to worry about him on the power play. There's no secret there. He's able to make those beautiful passes across ice to Mika all day long. I'll take that. But 5-on-5, he's got to step up his game. And I think, like you were saying with Shesterkin competing against Vasilevsky, the fellow countryman, he's going to have to step it up against Kucherov and try and prove himself a little bit. He definitely played really well in game six. Had what, one goal or two goals?
Yeah, one goal.
One goal, whatever. So he's definitely stepping up a little bit slowly, but surely it seems like, and he made a lot of good decisions in game seven. So I don't want to be too hard on him, but I also don't want them to give him another star for no reason. So he's definitely got to earn it.
Yeah, I mean, Panarin right now, 11 points in the 14 games. He had 96 points during the regular season in only 75 games. So well below his regular season pace. He does have the game winner in overtime game seven. Love him for that. And two of those goals were obviously on the power play. But for me, the biggest thing, you know, with Panarin is he's got to impact the offense a little more. And coach, I think you hit the nail on the head. Strom and Kopp had a much better game last night. And that might've been part, that could have been either caused by Panarin simplifying his game, or it could have benefited Panarin and helped him simplify his game. I don't know. I mean, who knows, right? But
well, I think it all just goes hand in hand to nail, you know, to put one point is hard to say, but.
Well, coach, I want your take too on the Strom, play where he missed that wide open net.
Oh my God.
We're all like, go, and Mike's jumping around high five. And I go, wait a minute, they're still playing. It didn't go in. I'm like, how did that not? Because we were outside watching.
Right back down and it. Scored though. So he's off the hook.
Great.
I know, but then he gets himself off the hook. It comes down 2-on-1. I'm like, he better score here. He snaps it.
I was drafting
kid behind us.
To Ed when that happened. I was texting Ed furiously, like, can you fucking believe he missed that goal? And then before I could even send it, he had scored. And I deleted it.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I jumped up. I was celebrating. And then I was cursing Strom. And then I was cheering Strom. So crazy string of circumstances there. But, you know, honestly, I've been critical of Strom. I think that, you know, he underwhelms me personally. I'm not a huge fan of his, but I do feel happy for him that he got that goal because, you know, he works hard and he's well-liked in the locker room. He's part of the team and he's been snake bitten, man. I mean, he's got like a 2 shooting percentage right now. It's like 2%. He's had a lot of chances. He's been unable to finish. So when he didn't score there, I was kind of like, here we go again, this guy. He's got to bury that, you know. And then I just felt really happy for him personally. He looked like so relieved when it went in behind the net, you know. So kudos to Stromer.
Kid behind us was saying, get rid of Strom, get rid of Strom, as the play's still going on. Oh, my God, that was the best. Oh, yeah, I just turned around. I was like, say it again. Stromer the gamer. Let's go.
Oh my God! Yeah, you guys love Strom. There's no question about that.
Dude, like you said, he works hard. I think he brings the intangibles. Like you said, he's probably a good locker room guy, a blue guy. He's probably not afraid to speak up in the locker room, and it's nice to see him get rewarded. Like you said, and I love that he didn't even look past. He just knew he had to put that puck in the net, and he just fired that short side, and he was so excited that it went in. And I think that's going to be a big turning point for him too. It's a big confidence
booster.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping. You know, I mean, look, Strom, for everything else, I mean, the guy's put up points as a Ranger. He had 53 points this year, 21 goals, a career high, and, you know, 2 goals, not going to cut it. But, you know, that's a big monkey off his back, as Buchnevich would say. Big goal for him. And, you know, I can't go an episode without mentioning Buchnevich. So
where is he? So, where is he, by the way, right now?
He's golfing with Sebastian Aho. Okay. So let's take a closer look here at this Tampa Bay series. You know, coach, you mentioned Barclay Goodrow came back in game six, gave the team a lift in the first round. Lindgren out for a couple games. He comes back, pretty much taped his whole leg together and came back. Right.
How about last night?
Last night.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, and last night he gets wrecked. I'm thinking he's out for the playoffs. The game looked out of reach already. I was just hoping the team stayed healthy, honestly, and could avoid some runs from the Hurricanes, but Lindgren comes back there. So, you know, that kind of stuff gives a big lift. Sammy Blais tore his ACL earlier in the year. He's skating on his own. He's skating with a torn ACL. So he's got to be getting close. You think he comes back this series?
I don't think it's going to be the same as, I don't know who are you going to sit? Revo's the last guy left. Who are you going to sit?
You got to sit Revo.
No way.
No shot.
You can't with Maroon. Can't do it.
I mean, I would be very surprised. If Blais is healthy, you sit Reeves. I mean, if he's not healthy, then no, you don't. But I mean, if he's ready to go, he's a tried and true tested playoff player. He brings way more skill and speed than Reeves. You know, Reeves has been effective in his role. I like Reeves. I don't want him to come out, but you know, Sammy Blay is much better than Revo. I know Mike's going to say no. He's got Revo's jersey, right? You hanging the rafters in your house yet?
Well, I did wear it last night and they won, but I mean, to come back from that injury and play 100%, that's tough. You can't take that.
He hadn't played a game in months.
Yeah, he can't do that.
Have any of you ever torn your ACL before?
No.
Torn my Achilles, so I've had some injuries like that, and it takes time. You're not 100%. Even though the doctors say you're 100%, you go into, you know, it's always in your mind. It's always in your mind. You can't do it. Yeah. I wouldn't do it if I was him or them.
Little Ed, what do you think?
I think I don't doubt his ability or if he's healthy or not. It's hard. Like, how could you step into the Eastern Conference Final after not playing competitive hockey for how long? And it's not like he can go play a few games with the Wolfpack or something. Like, he just has to step right into the final. It's one thing for Goudreau to do it. He's been there 100 times, and he only missed like a few, like what, like 15 games or something?
He missed 3 weeks. I don't know how many games, but 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's probably less than 15 games. I think Mott missed 15 games. But either way, Sammy Blay missed probably like 70 games or something like that. So I don't know. It'd be very difficult, especially like Coach. I know I'll let Coach Ed say it, but if you're going to have Maroon out there possibly taking some liberties, you got to have Revo out there too. And it's not like Revo is no slouch. He played awesome the whole series, especially last night.
Yeah, I think, Carl, I think Reeves is effective in his role. I mean, he clearly is liked in the locker room and gets the guys going. He's physical. But, I mean, if Sammy Blay can play, if the doctors tell Gallant, you know, Blay's good to go, you know, he can go. He's not at risk of further injury. I mean, what do you do?
That's a tough one. I'm not sure what the right answer is for that. You know, Revo has been a pretty critical part of winning these two series. He's clearly an emotional leader in the locker room, but at the end of the day, we need to put our best version out there to beat the Lightning. And Blaze better player than Revo. So I don't know. It's tough. I don't know what that decision is, and I'm glad I don't have to make it.
Yeah.
Blay will be on the fourth line.
Yeah. He'd be on the fourth line with Mott and Goudreau. That would be our fourth line.
I'll be honest with you. I don't really remember how he was playing. It was so long ago. I know he was doing pretty good, but.
Well, I just remember what Mikey P from 150 told us, and he was a Bruins fan when the Blues beat them in the Cup. And he just remembers Sammy Blay specifically just being a pain in the ass to play against and just being that type of player that you kind of like a Tyler Mott, just that type of player that you want in the playoffs, just making shit happen.
He's Tyler Mott with better hands and more physical. I mean, Mott is
I love the way he plays.
He's got to be resigned, man. I mean, they got to get him under contract. I don't know how they're going to do it with the salary cap, but he's a really important player. He's made a huge difference in these games too. Let's give a shout out to him. But all right. I mean, listen, I'm going to be at game two in New York. One of my friends, his wife got him a surprise Father's Day / birthday gift and called me and said, do you want to go to game two? And I said, yes, absolutely. So I'll be at game two with my friend Chris, who was a guest on this podcast earlier on. I think this season, actually, was it? Season. Was it last season?
Yeah.
And also I'm going to game four in Tampa on Tuesday. So I'm going to be at two of these games, ready to rock and roll. Make sure I'm super loud in Tampa. And, you know, getting some Let's Go Rangers and Igor chants going and rattle that crowd a little bit, piss them off, hopefully cheer on the boys to victory in those games.
And you're going to get to hear Brancy firsthand.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. I can't wait. I haven't been to a playoff game in the Garden. Honestly, it's been so long that I can't even remember if I've even been to one. That's how long it would have been. So it's been a long time. You know, I've been down in Florida since 2011. So that's a big bulk of the Lundqvist years. So I missed all those playoff games pretty much. So I'm super excited to go to the Garden and experience that atmosphere. It looks like it's rocking. And yeah, dude, I can't wait for this series. So let's talk about what we think is going to happen here. I mean, we're probably going to record, I would guess, after game four or game three around there. But let's make predictions, you know, and Carl, as the guest, we'll let you go first. We'll show some manners, which we never do because we're New Yorkers. But what's your prediction for the series? If you're being objective.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the Rangers have the best power play out of these two teams. Lightning are the penalty box a ton. If they can keep it clean 5-on-5, it's hard to see a path through them. You know, my pick to be on record would be Tampa Bay in 6. But if we can somehow get to 7 games, we're taking it at home. But on record, I'm going to say Tampa Bay in 6, as much as it pains me.
All right, you're not welcome back ever again.
All right, Lule. How you get...
He's being objective. It's what you're supposed
to do. That's what I was told to do. You know, I'm just trying to...
So you think it's either Tampa in 6 or Rangers in 7, pretty much?
Yeah. I do.
You know,
well, that's
you
picking two things then. Which one is it?
Well, he's not saying
anybody can say that. I think the Rangers are going to win in 7 if it goes 7, but if it doesn't, they're going to lose. What that's what kind of a prediction is that? That's a cop out. I could say that. I could say, oh, they might win it in 5, but maybe Tampa win it in 6 and the Rangers will win it in 7. All right,
coach, what's your prediction? What's your prediction?
Oh, geez.
I made my prediction, and then you kept digging into it. So now I'll change it. Rangers in 7.
Okay. Fair enough. Stick with one thing.
That's what I thought, Carl. That's what I thought.
Yeah, we bullied him. All right, coach, what's your prediction?
I'm going to go Rangers in 6.
Rangers in 6. Damn. Okay. Ditto. Mike says the same, Little Ed.
I'm going Rangers in 7 just because I said every game's going to be a 7-game series or every round's going to be a 7-game series.
Hey, listen, my bracket got busted by my favorite team, so I'm super happy for that to happen. If it's going to get busted, I'd like it to be by the Rangers. So I'm going to predict it continues to get busted. There's something special about this team. I don't know what it is. The kids are playing tried and true tested playoff performers. We got the best goalie in the league going up against arguably the best goalie in the league. It's going to be a great series. I'm saying that we win it in 7 games. I don't think the Rangers can win a series in less than 7 games. So I think that they're probably going to win the cup in 28 games going 16-12. That's probably what's going to happen.
That's brutal. It's brutal. I don't care how they get there.
No, look, seriously, I think the Rangers are going to come out in game 1 and win. I think Tampa's been rested for a while. The Rangers are off the high from the Carolina series. So I think they're going to take game 1. And then, you know, game 2, flip a coin. And then they got to take one of the games in Tampa and go from there, you know. And hopefully it's 2-2 going into game 5. And then I like our odds if that's the case with 2 games in the Garden. So, I I'm not really as scared. I was more scared of Carolina than I was of Tampa. What scares me about Tampa is they won cups, right? So yeah, that does scare me. And
Vasilevskiy, they have the formula. They know how to win. They know how to coach. They know how to take a lead and keep a lead.
But
it's very tough to fight back like they've been fighting back.
But when you look at firepower and like player for player, I mean, we have just as good of talent as that. Our talent is equal to their talent. I mean, Zibanejad, Stamkos, Panarin, Kucherov, Vasilevskiy, Shesterkin, Fox, Hedman. I mean, we can match them with elite talent.
They got McDonough, though. McDonough's a difference maker.
We got Keandre and Trouba. You know, I mean,
it's going to be a great series, I think.
It's a good team. And when I look at, and they got Braden Point out, that's a big deal. They got Cirelli on the first line and Nick Paul on the second. I mean, that's not as good as us. So, you know, it's going to come down to, like you said, coach, those role players, the Goodrows and the Mots and the, you know, those guys are going to have to really be effective. And listen, I think it's going to go 7 games one way or another. I think whoever wins is probably going to go 7. That's the end.
Overstating the obvious a little bit, but this game 1 feels more important than most game 1s. You know, we come out at home, set the tone, we're off to the races. We win this series.
I mean, we lost 2 game 1s in crushing fashion in this playoffs already. You know, and by the way, I want to note the Rangers are the first team ever in one playoff to come back from down 3-1 and down 2-0 in 2 playoff series and advance.
Thanks,
first
Sam.
Team to ever do that. So this team doesn't quit. You know, there's going to be moments in this series where I'm going to say that they're done and they look terrible because that's the roller coaster of being a fan. But I have faith that they're not going to quit. So yeah, Ranger, that's a long-winded way of saying Rangers in 7.
Rangers in seven. Let's do it.
Before we sign off, can I just say, I had to leave and listen to the game on the radio last night. Try to take 5 minutes and listen to Sam Rosen doing the game on the radio. It's why he's in the Hall of Fame. I could not believe it was the same person. He named every player, every pass, every player on both teams, didn't miss a beat, live action. I couldn't believe it was him. I was in shock. I don't remember him being like that ever.
No, he is a great announcer. I mean, we love Sam. You know, he's the voice of the Rangers. And
I don't really, but you always say that. But don't say we, say you do.
No, I mean, listen, Coach, like you say whatever you want. I mean, Sam called the games and the Rangers won the cup. He's got that epic call from the McTavish faceoff. You know, him and JD back in the day were, you know, one of the best tandems ever. You can say whatever you want about Sam, you know, as far as whether you like him or enjoy his announcing, but he is the voice of the Rangers, whether you like that or not. I mean, that's how Rangers fans know him, you know hockey. They listen
I'm
to
saying, listen to him do the game on the radio.
Yeah, you're saying he's different. He's more, he's knows
announcing
it's for radio.
The game. It's pretty right. good. It's very good.
Yeah. Well, good for Sam. And, you know, I just want to say one more thing. So yesterday before the game at like 6 o'clock, you know, I was really missing my dad a lot. Obviously, he was a big Ranger fan. So I decided to go to a local park around the corner where, you know, I spread some of his ashes after he passed away. And I just kind of sat there and was talking to him. And I told him, I said, you know, Dad, I'm going to need you to help the Rangers tonight. Carolina's undefeated at home. Hopefully you have a little more influence in the afterlife than you had on Earth. And, you know, they came out firing. So, look, I don't know. I don't know if I believe in that stuff, but I just wanted to share that with the fans. You know, speak to your loved ones that you know are Ranger fans. There's a lot of good ones that are gone and will this team, because there's something special going on here and they're going to need all the help they can get. They got Tampa and either Colorado or Edmonton coming. So let's,
they're going to have to dig in for sure.
Let's get all hands on deck for this.
All hands on deck. Panarin Shrines, 94 vigils, Russian nesting dolls.
I don't know what I'm going to do with the vigil, because for game two, I'll be in New York and Fio's going to be in Mexico. So no one's going to be with you.
Good job, Ed.
So I got to bring the vigil with me to New York.
You got to check another bag.
I can't even bring a carry-on on this flight. It's a Spirit flight, so I'm kind of screwed. Gosh.
Stuff your pockets.
Hey, put them in your pockets.
Just ship it.
Yeah, right.
Put bobbleheads in his pockets.
Yeah. Put in the prison. Put in the prison pocket.
Where are you? There's five bobbleheads. There's five bobbleheads, a mini Stanley Cup, and a candle.
Where are you staying, Ed?
I'm probably going to crash at Coach Ed's house, honestly.
Well, ship it to him so he has it. It's easy.
Absolutely not. I'm not shipping it. If they break
in. All right, so why don't you do this? Set them up at the house and just have Mila go over, light the candle for the game, and go back and blow the candle out.
Yes. Mila, can you watch Cody and also come light the vigil? anyway. Jesus. So, yeah. I don't know. And then game four, I'm going to bring it with me to Tampa to the Airbnb. But Phil said we can't light it in the Airbnb while we're at the arena. I can't leave a lit candle in the Airbnb. But I don't know. Maybe she'll go out the door first or something. We'll see.
So get one of those batteries. The battery.
No, it's been the same scent of candle from Bath and Body Works that has been there for all the entire series. When that candle burnt out, I used the same. I didn't change the scent, so I can't change the candle now.
Can I just say one thing? Do you really think that's doing anything? You think no one on Tampa is doing anything like this? No fan or anything, that yours is really making the difference?
No, I do. As fans, we're superstitious. You know, I've made field order.
I do
in the first period of every game in these playoffs. You know, so
keep doing it.
I'm wearing the same tank top, same socks, this hat. you know, I make her sit on the couch in the same spot for the games. Like, you know, little things like that that make you feel like it's important. Little Ed knows, Coach. Maybe you're not a superstitious guy, but I know.
Oh, I wore the same shirt and shorts to each game, and then when they lost, I changed it up. So I'm with it.
All right, Carl. Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. I hope you had a good time.
I
like the background there, Carl.
Yeah, thanks. Fresh off game seven, you know. had to represent. But thank you guys for having me. Love what you do. Love listening every week. And let's go Rangers.
Let's do it, boys.
More wins, baby.
Let's go Rangers, let's boys. Go, tomorrow night, game one.
Go.
Let's go Brancy.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Have a good night. See you mañana.
Later.